This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lynn, Julian and Shaoning. Now, we're running a poll this morning on the BFM Twitter account. That's at BFM Radio, because it's been reported that the US has settled with Jolo in their 1MDB-related cases. Now, we're asking you if Malaysia should the government make a deal with Jolo if it helps to close our 1MDB-related cases? Do let us know what you think, because Low-Tech Joe, more commonly known as Jolo, he has apparently reached a tentative settlement with the U.S. Department of Justice. Sources close to the matter told this to the Singapore Straits Times that the settlement is wide-ranging and will resolve all outstanding civil and criminal suits against Jolo in the U.S.
That's right. Interestingly, the settlement would not involve an admission of guilt or wrongdoing by Jolo, and nor would it resolve the criminal case against him. So this is a kind of plea bargaining that's not unusual to the U.S. scene, right?
It's common everywhere. Even in Malaysia, we do this plea bargaining. I mean, because it basically, at the end of the day, the powers that be want to settle the case as quickly as possible and also reduce costs. Because at least if you bring a plea bargain to the table and you decide, you know what the outcome is. Whereas if you take it to court, at the end of the day, there could be the possibility that the government could lose its case. So for US, it's very, very common.
Plus, I think that they want to get back the Van Gogh and Monet paintings in a hurry. They don't want it still in one of the mansions of Jolo in New York or something.
And not forgetting, when you take something to court, even after the court has made its decision, you also do have appeals processes and more appeals processes, because that's what we're likely going to be seeing in the Dato' Sri Najib Razak cases, the multiple ones that are going through our court system right now.
Exactly. So it's all, rather than delay, sometimes plea bargaining is the way to go. So apparently, under the deal, Jolo and parties related to him are set to waive rights to assets valued over $1 billion. And this is allegedly acquired with 1MDB-related funds. And that may be part of the forfeiture claims filed in the US courts by the DOJ between 2016 and 2017.
And I mean, not to lead the poll a little bit, I would say no. You know, you shouldn't plea bargain with Jolo as far as the Malaysian cases are concerned, because there is a bigger issue here, because we're trying to solve corruption. And this is a policy issue. This is not just some petty crime that happen occasionally. Right. It's a huge crime, and corruption is endemic in Malaysia, and we need to get to the bottom of the problem. And I think the way to do that is for convictions. You need to send a message that this kind of robbing of the country is wrong.
Okay, I've been corrected. Actually, in Malaysia, apparently, there's no plea bargaining. And even in the US, it only involves civil matters where there's a settlement. So what the Wall Street Journal article says, the criminal investigations and proceedings will just continue.
So The Edge Singapore is reporting a slightly different number associated with this settlement, saying that the assets involved are valued conservatively at about $670 million compared to the $1 billion reported by the Straits Times. And that these assets include a Bombardier Global 5000 jet grounded in Singapore, properties in New York, Los Angeles and London, as well as investment holdings in the EMI Music Publishing Group and equity holdings in a number of groups. So US investment firm Electrum Group and Flywheel Sports Inc. And if approved by a federal judge, the deal would help resolve any forfeiture cases tied to Jolo, and it would expedite matters, because even after assets are seized, the proceeds from them still can end up in legal limbo until a court awards judgment in favour of the US, or as in this case, reaches a settlement.
I think it's loose change. A couple of $100 million, what is that to Jolo, right? Whether it's $1 billion or $650 million.
Well, yeah. At the end of the day, maybe there's this point that this has been going on for so long, and everybody wants to come to some settlement. And I mean, who knows? I mean, would we be able to get our hands on him? Because it's been how many years since?
That's right.
Yeah.
Does this mean that the DOJ knows where he is?
Maybe he could
give us some information.
Yeah, because I think the Straits Times also did mention something about the fact that he says he could be actually, he could be residing somewhere in the United Arab Emirates, and apparently has recently secured asylum in a third country. So I guess it doesn't really look likely that we're going to get him back at this point.
Well, I think the Wall Street Journal says that he could be in China. So, you know, we really don't know where he is.
It's the biggest mystery of last 5 years, I think, where exactly Jolo is.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we do find him, honestly, and that we do bring him back for some trials. That's my personal view. You know, I would like to see this whole investigation finish right to the end.
Mm-hmm. Would you be bringing your guillotine as well? Watching at the side?
Well, maybe.
Not in favor of capital punishment, guys. But nevertheless, do let us know what you think. You can always WhatsApp us as well as vote on the poll we have running on the BFM Twitter account. That's at BFM Radio. We'll be taking a look at the results of that poll throughout the rest of the morning. But aside from that, in some other local news, fun fact, the most traveled airline route in the world is the one between KL and Singapore. Now, there are over 30,000 flights between the two cities every year. So it makes sense then that that Malaysia Airlines and Singapore Airlines yesterday announced that they are strengthening their partnership, including subsidiary airlines like Silk Air, Scoot and Firefly.
I think many years ago when we spoke to Malaysia Airlines, they gave the impression that they don't want to spend too much on buying jets and expanding their routes globally. They rather do it through codeshares. So this is possibly a case of if you can't beat them, join them. And that deal that's being struck with Singapore Airlines, nationalism aside, is actually not a bad thing because Singapore Airlines is a great marketing behemoth and they also have those routes. They're very located very strategically. They would be able to help Malaysia Airlines make some money as well in those routes that are not covered by the local company.
Yeah, so SIA and Silk Air will codeshare on 16 domestic locations with Malaysia Airlines, and there will also be codeshare agreements on flights to Europe, South Africa and others. And of course, they will participate in joint marketing activities. This is subject to regulatory approval. But just some history. The two airlines actually split from a single entity in September 1972. Once upon a time, it was previously Malaysia-Singapore Airlines. Of course, since then, Singapore has kind of, taken over. It's a global airline. But it's not like this joint venture or what you call code sharing hasn't happened in the past. Before the rise of global alliances, you know, the One World. Mm-hmm. Malaysian Airlines and Singapore Airlines did have a kind of a permanent alliance in the 1980s, I remember. And you could actually share, collect air miles together in the very early days, but that was eventually split up.
And even these just kind of alliances that Malaysia Airlines is making with other airlines is not very new because even recently in May, Malaysia Airlines announced along with Japan Airlines that they had signed an MOU to cooperate in exchanging best practices, to explore collaborations in operation areas, as well as develop tourism in both markets. Now, that was intended to start the joint business. The joint business was intended to start in 2020 to coincide with the Tokyo Olympics. And earlier this month, Malaysia Airlines did also partner, I think, with British Airways via a codeshare agreement.
Yeah, I think this kind of talk coming at this point in time, during a time when Malaysia Airlines is going through some kind of existential crisis, right? A new Khazanah boss recently said that Malaysian Airlines needed an injection of 1 billion ringgit a year for it to continue as a going concern. So I wonder whether it will continue to wag the tongues of whether there will actually, God forbid, be a merger between Singapore Airlines and Malaysia Airlines. That would certainly be a slap in the face for a lot of Malaysians that have this perception that Malaysia Airlines is actually a symbol of our national identity.
Well, it was just a week ago, right, where they said there were like four potential buyers or stakeholders that are interested in Malaysian Airlines. I mean, Qatar Airways came out to deny that they're taking a stake. But for me, all these code shares, it just makes a lot of sense, right? Because if you can share routes, at the end of the day, what is your concern as an airline is to reduce costs and maximize yield. So partnerships, hey, if that's the way to go and improve your bottom line, it does make sense. But you're right in that the long-term issues of Malaysian Airlines still persist. So yes, you can have these code shares to kind of improve revenue, improve yield, buy you some time. But structurally, you also really need to look at Malaysian Airlines as an ongoing entity. Why do we keep having these issues crop up again and again when and business seems to be not so good?
Yeah, I think you need to. Malaysians are concerned about cutting the umbilical cord of bailouts, 1 billion a month. The company has been bailed out and bleeding, all the bees there, bleeding for not 1 or 2 years, but decades.
Yes, and I think the injections year to date have already totaled something like 600 million ringgit. So it's unsurprising then that Malaysians might not be that keen anymore on continuing this lifeline to Malaysia Airlines. But right now, we are heading into the 7:30 news for you. And then after that, we'll be back with more international stories. So don't go anywhere here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.